This is KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Fire destroyed a generator shed at a home on Kuprinoff Saturday afternoon, but did not spread to two nearby cabin buildings. The structure caught fire around 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, sending black smoke into the sky with flames visible across the Wrangell Narrows in Petersburg. As locals and visitors enjoyed Petersburg's Little Norway Festival in sunny weather, the blaze was reported to Petersburg emergency dispatchers by multiple callers. The fire was behind a home about halfway between the Kuprinoff State Dock and Saspe Island along the Kuprinoff shoreline. Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department spokesman Dave Berg says volunteers responded from Petersburg using the Harbor Department security and firefighting boat. Berg says smoke had died down by the time the crew got to Kuprinoff.
One of the other residents of Kuprinoff, Dave Beebe, had responded with a small pump that they were pumping water out of a nearby creek that was running right by the structure. And what we found burning was a small building, an outbuilding of the cabin itself, used as a generator shed and a storage for wood. It was an open-sided structure with a metal roof and apparently, one of the generators malfunctioned, and that's certainly subject to investigation, further investigation.
Berg says Petersburg volunteers did not need to set up water hoses, but did help with the aftermath.
We were able to see clearly that the cabin was not involved, but it was a structure behind the cabin, and we felt fortunate at that point that another volunteer fire department from Kuprinoff had showed up with their portable pump and pretty much extinguished the structure. We used some self-contained breathing apparatus, and the four firefighters who went over there were able to do what we call salvage work and taking apart the burning pile of wood so that we could get in there with the pump and water and further extinguish and help the homeowner who was there. Extinguish anything that was left burning.
That generator building was a total loss. Berg says the nearby cabins and the nearest windows suffered a little heat damage from the blaze. No injuries were reported. SeaAlaska shareholders are deciding whether to impose term limits on the corporation's board members. The regional Native Corporation's tribal members are also considering 9 candidates for 4 board seats. They include an incumbent who has lost the board's support. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
If approved, the term limits measure would make incumbent board members step down after 3 three-year terms, and they could never run again. It was proposed by shareholder and board candidate Mick Beasley, who's highly critical of the corporation's management. SeaAlaska General Counsel and Corporate Secretary Jaylene Arujo says the board opposes the measure.
I know there had been past resolutions provided by Mr. Beasley that were longer, 4 terms, and so 3 terms for sitting board members. They just felt that 3 terms felt very short.
Arujo says the panel also disagrees with keeping former incumbents off the board indefinitely. She says a better approach would be a cooling-off period before they can run again. She also says the Juneau-headquartered corporation would lose important knowledge and history under term limits.
There is recognition that no other regional corporation in the state has term limits because of that stability and experience being important.
SeaAlaska's board has opposed previous term limits measures. It's also been against efforts to eliminate or modify discretionary voting. That's when shareholders turn over the power to cast their ballots to the board. Beasley, a Juneau Carver, has offered other term limits and discretionary voting measures in recent years.
Right now, 40 years of the SeaAlaska Corp has benefited very few, and that's all because of our election system.
5 other shareholders are also running for the board as independents. What's unusual this year is that one is an incumbent who has kicked off the slate of board-endorsed candidates.
I have been outspoken about the poor financial performance of SeaAlaska.
Patrick Anderson, an Anchorage attorney, points to the regional Native Corporation's many years of operational losses when he criticizes managers. A board member for more than 20 years, Anderson says he's been advocating a system called lean management, which focuses on increased value and eliminating waste. Versions have been used by hospitals, the auto industry, and Sea Alaska's former plastic subsidiary.
We really need to learn how to operate companies, and lean management is how many, many, many outstanding companies in the world have done it.
Corporate Secretary Arujo says she can't speak to the decision to exclude Anderson because it was made by the board in an executive session. Board President Joe Nelson could not be reached for immediate comment. Former board president Albert Kukesh says he could not comment either. Bumping Anderson off the board slate leaves it with only three endorsed candidates for four seats. One is Inside Passage Electric Cooperative CEO Jody Mitchell. Another is National Congress of American Indians Executive Director Jackie Johnson-Peta. The third is Tlingit-Haida Business Corporation CEO Richard Reinhardt. In addition to Beasley and Anderson, four other independents are running for the board. They include Carver Doug Chilton, financial advisor Brad Flitch, and Bartlett Regional Hospital Controller Karen Togg. The fourth independent is former Sea Alaska Corporate Secretary Nicole Hollingstad, now Operations Director for the National Congress of American Indians. Results will be announced during Sea Alaska's annual meeting, June 25th in Ketchikan. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
And you can read Sea Alaska's proxy statement, which includes candidates' positions and both sides of the term limits issue. We've posted a link on our website along with this report. The remodeled Ray C. Stedman Elementary School building has been functioning for about 2 years now with new windows, walls, and doors. The outside of the building was also finished off with new gray siding. Now that gray is getting a splash of color with some local artwork. It's a normal day in Petersburg. Skies are gray and heavy rain is falling on the roof of the elementary school. I'm standing on gray cement near the gray gravel playground looking at the gray school. But the landscape is changing. That's local artist Pia Riley, attaching a bunch of brightly colored circles to the outside walls of the school with help from maintenance man Rans McIntosh. Each circle gets carefully unwrapped from plastic.
I think we have like 23 of them.
Oh.
I know. It's a lot. I will divide them a little bit.
Riley says they represent balloons or balls flying around the walls and give movement to the piece. They're made from thick, weatherproof wood.
It's kind of like a equal to marine plywood, and it's used for outdoor signage and stuff like that. So it comes already prepared or primed, but then just because of this climate we live in, I primed them three times, all of them, and then I painted several layers of paint. So hopefully they'll hold up for a while.
What kind of paint?
Oil. Deck and porch paint. So really thick oil paint.
I noticed, just looking closely at them, it does look like it's put on generously, mm-hmm. probably to
yes.
make it last.
Yes, 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 yes. And it has a little bit of an overhang here, so hopefully that will help too.
The circles vary in size from about 1 to 2 feet in diameter. Next to them is a giant, brightly painted tree.
Tree is kind of a little bit my signature, I guess. I don't know how that came this way, but it did. And I call it the learning tree. So it has a lot of details in it with the numbers and letters and words and birds and leaves. And it's big. It's 13 feet high and about, I think, 11 feet wide.
The scale of the piece was larger than paintings she normally produces, so she had to find the right space to create it.
Because my studio was way too small for that. And somebody suggested PIA, and I went up to a board meeting up there and asked for a space to rent. And they were very, very generous, and they gave me a beautiful big space that I didn't really want to move out of for free because it's for the children.
Kindergartners pass by on their way back from gym class in a nearby building, and they like what they see.
Spectacular.
This side of the building near the parking lot is only part of the project. Some of the circles, along with another smaller tree, will go on the other side of the school. And the letters making up the school's name on the front of the building are now all red. And Riley also painted the inside walls to both of the entrances of the school.
It's for the kids, so I enjoy if other people get to see it too, but I think they will really like it.
The artwork cost approximately $12,000. It was funded through the $2.3 million renovation project at the school. The state of Alaska has a 1% for art requirement for public building construction, meaning 1% of those capital costs must go towards permanent artwork. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. Petersburg was full of activity over the weekend for the annual Little Norway Festival. There were music concerts, puppet shows, a parade, and lots of people hanging out with friends. The main street downtown was blocked off as visitors checked out craft and food booths. Here's some sounds that I put together from the weekend.
I'm from Juneau.
So you're down here for the weekend?
Finally. I've wanted to come for years.
What do you think so far?
People are friendly, the weather's fantastic, the drinks are delicious.
Okay, and anything that you're particularly looking forward to this weekend?
I'm looking forward to some time off, good friends, good food, and festivities.
What's your name?
Amelia Jenkins.
Tell me about your outfit.
I am the Vis Queen, and so my skirt is Vis Queen. My leggings I chose because I asked my friends which ones I should wear out of a few pairs, and they said not these because they were too trashy. So they were the obvious choice. A corset, which looks great, makes it really hard to breathe. A pin from 2014. That's not that old.
The Little Norway pen.
Little Norway pen. I have older ones. A Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, which was given to me by one of the craftsmen on Main Street, selling beautiful stuff, gave me a piece of scrap metal in the shape of Thor's hammer, which fits just right in the cleavage, and a chainmail necklace that I bought on eBay.
So are you from Petersburg?
Yeah. Grew up here. Now I come back every year for the festival.
What's your name?
Jean Osborne.
So tell me about your booth here. What are you selling?
Mostly crocheted hats, all different kinds of hats. Animal hats, little Viking hats, I have little Frozen princess hats, all kinds.
Do you do this every Mayfest?
I try. When I can get the day off from work, I do.
And what's your name?
Otis Marsh. We're trying to encourage people to do genealogy work.
So you're encouraging people to find out who they are, who their history is, and their heritage.
Yep.
And how do people go about, what would your advice be? What are you telling people?
Well, we're just saying to do it, but we've got some information here to help. We're kind of pushing family search and how to get on that and do it. And we're signing up people if they want help to find their family that's long gone.
What's your name?
Andrea.
You're visiting Petersburg from where?
Whidbey Island, Washington.
Is it your first time here?
Yes, it is.
So how long have you been in Petersburg? Is this your first day?
What time is it? 3 hours, probably.
But you planned to be here for Mayfest?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to be probably intoxicated all weekend and fly back Sunday evening.
What's your name?
Tiffany Davis. We are running the Scooby-Doo and the Jumping Dragon, and we're raising money for my daughter to go to Ireland this summer on a mission trip.
So you own these blow-up bouncing
castles? Yeah, we've had them probably for 16, 17 years. It's been a long time.
when you first got them, what was your intention?
Well, me and my husband, when we went to college down in Arizona, we ran them on the weekends. We would deliver them to birthday parties around Arizona. So every weekend, we would make money by driving around delivering them to birthday parties, and that's how we paid for college. Not these two. Well, after we moved back, we were like, hey, it was a great deal in Arizona. Let's bring some up. So we got them from the company that we used to work for. And they've been profitable ever since.
I have to say, Mr. Harold Bergman always said, we don't need to introduce dignitaries because we're all dignitaries here. And it's so true.
The Little Norway Festival wrapped up yesterday here in Petersburg. The winner of this year's Norwegian American Award was Chris Jensen, the final winner of the Little Norway Festival raffle drawing. For $1,500 was Liz Bacom. To see some photos and videos of the festival, go to our website, kfsk.org, or you can visit us on Facebook. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.